In the quiet town of Mill Grove, Pennsylvania, 7-year-old Christopher Reese and his mother Kate are starting over, fleeing an abusive relationship and seeking stability. But this seemingly peaceful town harbors ancient secrets that will soon envelop them both. When Christopher follows a strange, smiling cloud into the forbidden Mission Street woods, he disappears for 6 days. The town panics, search parties comb the forest, and Kate faces her worst nightmare. Then, miraculously, Christopher emerges, changed. His learning disabilities vanish overnight. He can suddenly read perfectly, excel at math, and even predict winning lottery numbers. But with these gifts come disturbing symptoms, severe headaches, nosebleeds, and whispers from an imaginary friend who instructs him to build a treehouse before Christmas. What begins as a child's mysterious disappearance evolves into a battle between cosmic forces, with Christopher caught in the middle of an age-old war between light and darkness. Christopher enlists his only friend, Special Ed, and twins Mike and Matt to build the mysterious treehouse. They work secretly, stealing supplies from Colin's construction and laboring for hours in the woods, all to satisfy his invisible friend's demand that it be finished before Christmas. During construction, they make a horrifying discovery, a child's skeleton buried beneath their tree. The remains belong to David Olson, an 8-year-old who was buried alive 50 years earlier. As the deadline approaches, Christopher's condition deteriorates. Dangerous fevers, frequent nosebleeds, and inexplicable knowledge about others. Upon completion, he discovers the treehouse's true purpose, a portal to what he calls the imaginary side, a nightmarish parallel dimension. There, he encounters two beings, the nice man, a seemingly benevolent soldier, and the hissing lady, a terrifying entity. The nice man reveals that Christopher was chosen because he's special, transformed by the treehouse to possess extraordinary abilities. A mysterious illness sweeps through Mill Grove. People develop fevers, headaches, and an inexplicable itching on their arms, the same symptoms Christopher experienced after his woodland encounter. This is no ordinary flu. It makes people hostile and paranoid, turning neighbors against each other and unleashing their darkest impulses. At Shady Pines Nursing Home, Alzheimer's patient Mrs. Kaiser makes disturbing prophecies. Death is coming. Death is here. We'll die on Christmas Day. When she attacks Christopher during a Christmas pageant, his touch miraculously clears her Alzheimer's but worsens his own condition. At the hospital, tests reveal nothing physically wrong with Christopher. The doctor suspects childhood schizophrenia, the same condition that led to his father's suicide. Meanwhile, Christopher discovers a horrifying truth. The nice man is actually the devil, trapped in hell but attempting to escape using the treehouse as a portal. The sickness is his influence reaching into the real world, turning people into unwitting servants. On the imaginary side, Christopher discovers the truth. The nice man is the devil, who manipulated him to kill the hissing lady and open a permanent portal between worlds. The hissing lady was Eve, God's daughter who guarded the boundary between realms. David Olson made this same discovery 50 years ago and sacrificed himself to close the portal, protecting his brother Ambrose and the town. On Christmas Eve, the devil's influence peaks. The townspeople, now resembling mailbox people with eyes and mouths sewn shut with black yarn, gather in the Mission Street woods. They're drawn by personalized whispers promising their deepest desires. Mrs. Henderson hears her dead husband. Miss Lasco craves alcohol. Brady Collins imagines his mother's approval. These whispers target each person's vulnerability, their deepest shame, most painful memory, or desperate longing. The devil doesn't need to know everything, he only needs to find the crack in their emotional armor. For the sheriff, it's his failure to save a girl years ago. For Kate, it's her fear of inadequate motherhood. For Mary Catherine, mysteriously pregnant despite claiming virginity, It's the fear of disbelief and ostracism. In a desperate final confrontation, Christopher discovers the devil's weakness. The strings connecting the mailbox people aren't unbreakable chains, but simple ropes they believe they cannot release, like circus elephants tethered by thin ropes who never learned they could break free. "You are free now," Christopher tells them, a message that cascades through the town. People begin tearing at their strings, releasing themselves from their personal hells. Christopher's father, who had been among the mailbox people since his suicide, leads a charge against the devil, sacrificing himself in a brilliant display of ascending light. This revelation embodies the novel's core message. Our greatest prisons are self-imposed. The townspeople aren't physically restrained, but bound by belief systems, trauma, and fear. The sheriff remains chained to his past failure. Kate is tethered to feelings of inadequacy. Mary Catherine is bound by others' judgment. These strings represent the invisible psychological chains we all carry, limiting beliefs that whisper, "You can't," or "You're not worthy." In the final battle, Christopher confronts the devil, seeing him for what he truly is, alone, insane, trapped in his own illusion. "I am free now," Christopher declares, as light from the tree absorbs the devil's minions. The townspeople trap the devil in the treehouse, which Kate burns. Eve sacrifices herself, using the key to lock the door and keep the devil imprisoned. As Millgrove returns to normal, people begin healing. Mrs. Henderson plans a trip with her husband. Jenny finds safety with her father and reports her abusive stepbrother. Brady's grandmother apologizes for enabling abuse. Special Ed returns his father's gun and sleeps between his reunited parents. The sheriff plans a future with Kate and Christopher. The novel shows that healing isn't instantaneous. It's a choice made repeatedly. Kate chooses to trust again. The sheriff learns to forgive himself. Ambrose opens his heart to new connections. These are quiet choices to untie the strings that hold them back, one thread at a time. The devil remains trapped, watching and whispering to the townspeople, but none can hear him anymore. They've learned to recognize his voice for what it is. Imaginary Friend explores the delicate boundary between imagination and reality. The treehouse functions as a metaphor for imagination itself, a place of wonder and terror where reality bends according to belief, representing both sanctuary and vulnerability, like childhood itself. The novel's religious symbolism adds depth. The hissing lady as Eve, the devil as charming manipulator, and the Christmas battle connect to Christian mythology with fresh interpretations. Chbosky avoids simplistic moral judgments, showing how good people can be corrupted by fear and how redemption remains possible through choice and sacrifice. What makes this story haunting isn't just supernatural elements, but how it illuminates human suffering. The devil's most effective tool is suggestion, planting doubts, nurturing fears, exploiting vulnerabilities, mirroring how negative thought patterns convince us we're already defeated. Christopher's final message, "You are free now," resonates beyond the story, reminding us that while we may not face literal demons, we all confront limiting inner voices. The novel suggests our greatest monsters are self-created, but can be unmade through understanding, compassion, and choice.